Lord, we do thank you. Oh, Lord, you're a redeeming God. Just love what we just sang, Lord. Broken inside, Lord. We're broken people. But Lord, you are into restoration. You use the broken things. And Lord, as we gather together here as your people, as your children, Lord, as your kids who love you, and you love us back, Lord, there are some of us in here that may be just heavy with burdens. They just walk in with just difficulties in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, would just release those people that maybe, Lord, feel like they've been carrying those things for a while. And that by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we would just gather together in your name and our minds would be clear and our hearts would be open to what you have for us today. That you would touch us in such a profound way. That encouragement that only you can give. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God that hears, a God that answers our prayers, a God that desires to walk with us. That you're an intimate God who loves us. So we just praise you, we praise your name. And it is in my Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus, that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, church. Will you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, please? Luke chapter 11. And while you're doing that, I just want to remind those that are entering into the chili cook-off that the chili is going to be judged on a couple things. For those of you that are taking notes, maybe listening online, color, aroma, texture, heat, flavor. Once again, color, aroma, texture, heat, flavor. I know it's not a big thing, but it's chili. So can't wait to see you guys next week, and looking forward also to that conference to hang out with you men. And you know, it's an incredible thing how God just ministered to us. Listen, if you guys can make that conference, it'd be great. Fellowship happens from the very beginning. You know, from the time we meet here, we go. There's relationships are built on the way back, and it's a good time. Amen. All right. Why don't you stand with me one last time here for the reading of God's word? The model prayer, that's where we spend the last couple of weeks, and we went ahead and just really dug into that, what that looks like when these disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray in the manner that John taught his disciples to pray. Lord, you have something special with God. There is something that happens when you pray. There's power when you pray, and that is what we want in our lives. So that's what we see here. We're going to read that once again, and as we go into our text today, we're going to continue on to verse 8. So if you would, follow along with me. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. Can I rise and give to you? I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. You may be seated. Last week, as we finished this model prayer that our Lord gives us, to follow, this is an example on how we're to pray. Jesus, this week, as we pick up in chapter 5, what we see is that now he's going to exhort his disciples, that's you and me, to be fervent in our prayers, to be dedicated in our prayers, to be persistent in our prayers. He wants to encourage all of us to continue on praying and not lose heart. And as we do that, and as we follow along, Jesus gives us actually two examples, two illustrations here. But here's the thing, that oftentimes when we read this, sometimes we make an error. We mistaken these people that we read in here for the character of God, and that is not the point of this passage. What Jesus is doing here is arguing from the less to the greater, saying, you who are fallible, who are sinful, who are evil, this is in the manner that you respond. You give good gifts. How much more will not your heavenly Father give? So it's an argument from the less, from us, to so much greater, to our heavenly Father. That is the comparison that we get here. So we want to make sure we have that in mind as we read these verses. And really, you may remember in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, he did something similar because he actually used there the example of birds. He said, listen, which one of these birds, look at them, they neither toil nor spin, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much less valuable than you are? He uses them, same type of argument, saying, man, God will do so much more. And in that same example, he also talks about the lilies in the field, how he dresses them. And he says, not even Solomon was dressed in such a fashion. He says, man, I'm going to provide for you. Look, these are things that grow, that are here one day and gone tomorrow. These are birds that not one of them drops dead, he says, without him knowing about it, without him having to do something about it. And how much more valuable are we than these things? So it's the same type of argument here. So take a look again with me on verse 5. Take a look at your Bibles and follow along. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight? I stop there. Okay, this is something. How many of you guys had a friend come to you at midnight? It's in the middle of the week, and a friend comes to you at midnight. You're asleep and so forth. Picture that in your mind, right? This is an opportune time. This is not the best time to come. And he says, how many of you having a friend, and he comes to you at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and the children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I want us to paint just this picture in our mind of what's going on here in this culture during this period of time. Because you see, during that period of time, and even now, and certain cultures, certain countries, it still is practice where a person goes to bed, the lights out, no electricity, they all go to bed. Once that door is shut, that door is shut. And everybody sleeps in the same room. They're all together. So, and during that time as well, they would bring in the animals as well inside the home. So if you could imagine that someone coming in the middle of night or at midnight, what that would do. Now, for those of you that have kids, especially little ones, think about that. You have a 2, 3, 4-year-old, and all of a sudden they're woken up in the middle of the night. Oh, forget about it. That's it. There's no more sleeping. Or the animals, the dogs, they start going, right? They start barking. It's done. It's done. So really, it is such an inconvenience at the time that this man comes. And I think about it in today's date. Maybe you have a friend that's out of state, a friend maybe even out of the country. Maybe that person has visited you and just out of nowhere. Maybe they were driving by, driving through, and they called you and they come. And all of a sudden, you find yourself, man, my kids have eaten me out of house and home tonight, and I don't have nothing to give them. And these people provided for me. They're good friends. I love them. They cared for me. They were such hosts. You know, I just feel indebted to them and the fact that I just got to take care of them. And you're like, man, but I got nothing. I got nothing to, and I know it's a long trip. They're hungry, and they want to rest. And then I'm like, Lord, how can I help? How can I provide for these guys. And I'm like, hey, I have a neighbor, my friend next door, Leo. Man, he's a good guy. I know I can go to him, and I'm going to ask him. But there's a problem. There's a problem with my neighbor. My neighbor has a heavy gate. It's squeaky. It's noisy. And then he has dogs. And these dogs, they love me. So if I come to the door, they open up the door, they just like bark and they come and get all excited. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to make my way over there. And you know what? I'm going to inconvenience him for a second. And I'm going to ask, because this friend's here, I want to bless them. I want to provide for them. So I go and knock. Leo. A little harder, Leo. It's midnight. And I hear a voice from behind the door. It's midnight. Is that you, Carlos? What are you thinking? It's midnight. Just a loud whisper, right? And I'm like, hey, listen, I need some bread, man. Not bread, because all the stores are closed. I need some food. I have some family members here, and I want to care for them. And he's like, are you nuts? No. Just simply, no. I got kids. I'm not going to wake them up if I open up this door. Oh, man, forget it. And I say, Leo, you owe me. And I'm not leaving here until you give me something. And Leo thinks about this, and he says, man, Carlos is stubborn. I know him. That is the most stubborn man I know. And he is not leaving. So you, fine. He goes, grabs what he needs, and he gives it to me because he knows I'm not leaving. I'm like, I need this. And that is an example for us, right? That Jesus uses. He says, man, this person, he was persistent. Look at verse 8, what he says. Jesus says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Listen, Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. Makes it real simple for us, right? We're to go before our Lord asking, seeking, knocking. And it is so simple. But the question really is, do I believe God when I pray? Do I believe that he's able? Do I believe that he is a good God, that he answers my prayers, that he cares for me, that everything in my life is important to him? Do I believe the promises of God? Do I grab a hold of them? That's really the question. Do I believe him? And when I do, I can ask. And I can ask with confidence. And the reason I can ask for with confidence is because I have such a close relationship with him. But listen, maybe you hesitate in asking God. Maybe you're one of those that says, you know, I don't really want to ask, man. That's little. I can handle that. Well, I can do this. I don't want to bother God. I got this. You know what that is? Pride. It's pride. When you don't want to ask your Heavenly Father for something, it simply is pride. So when we ask, there's a sense of humility when we do that, when we go before our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, I can't do this, Lord. Or, yeah, I can do this, but I'm going to mess things up. I want to do things your way. I want to do things in your will. Turn with me to Ephesians 3:20. Just over to the right, if you have your Bibles with you, Ephesians 3:20. And this is such a good verse to have underlined, to have it highlighted, just to remember. Ephesians 3:20, listen to what the Word of God says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Church, our God is able. He is more than able. And I love the way that it's compounded on here. It's like, man, Paul really wants to get this point across. The Spirit of God wants to get this across. And he says he is able to do exceedingly. This is like a word like much more than what you ask, exceedingly, and then abundantly above that, above all that we ask or even think. God knows what we have need of. Even those things that we don't think about, God says, I already got it covered. I know what's here. I know what's going to happen under these circumstances. And he is able. So we're to ask in confidence. We need to put a pride aside and go to our Heavenly Father because he invites us to come to him with boldness. But that involves humility. Amen. Next, Jesus tells us, seek. We're to seek. What does that mean? Well, listen, in the practical level, right, we ask the Lord, Lord, you know I have a need of a job. You know this is the direction I'm going. Whatever it may be, Lord, I ask you. Then where do you start walking? Where do you start moving, right? This is the direction that I believe the Lord's leading me. It is said that it's easier to steer a moving vehicle than a parked one. Is that not true? So, listen, we ask and then we seek. And then we knock. But in seeking, Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When we pray, we're to seek the Lord earnestly. We're also to seek him practically. And in the illustration here that we just read, it is about this man that did those things. We see the example there. He was practical. He sought out his neighbor. There was action behind him. There was a need. And when he prayed, he asked and he sought as well. And listen, when I do all those things, the Lord directs my steps. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, the word of God says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Do you seek the Lord? Do you seek the Lord with this perseverance? I pray and then I ask, what does that look like? Sometimes we can just ask and we leave it there, but there's sometimes, man, that we are laboring. We're like, Lord, you know where we're at. You know this dire situation. Lord, I'm going to continue coming to you because, Lord, where else am I going to go? And we start praying. We start seeking the Lord. And you may start fasting and praying. And it's a continuous thing. Maybe you're praying for something with your child. Maybe something with your parents, something with a family member. Listen, all our kids, we prayed for them for years for a particular thing that the Lord showed us. And the Lord, he answered. And we would pray. We didn't say, hey, after this week, we're done. We didn't say, after this year, we're done. Or next year, we're done. We kept praying until the Lord showed us, until he answered. And he will either tell us, hey, I got this, not now. Or he'll say, he'll answer and give us what we want. Or he'll say, no. Or he'll say, my grace is sufficient for you. But when the Lord responds, that's when it's okay to stop. Otherwise, we're to be persistent. 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And 1 Kings 18:42, Elijah, after getting into this, after he kills the prophets of Baal or Baal, right? After he calls down fire, he seeks the Lord, and they're destroyed and they're killed and so forth. It says that he went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And in verse 32, 1 Kings 18, verse 42, I'm sorry, it says, then he bowed down on the ground. Listen, he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Picture that in your mind. And said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. He didn't stop after the first time, second time, third time. And he would tell, hey, go look, I'm praying. He is seeking the Lord earnestly, and he's praying, go again, go again. Seven times, he says. And then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a small cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops. It's going to pour, he said. Remember, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Because he had prayed and the Lord had brought a drought to the land because of their idol worship because they left the Lord. They sought the Baal and Ashtoreth and so forth. They were just, he was an evil king, Ahab, and he brought this upon the land. And Elijah prayed and it stopped raining. And now he prays and it rains. But I want us to notice this. One is the fervency of his prayers. Two, that as soon as he saw a response, a small response, he sees that little cloud. He says, God is answering. He didn't say, maybe, what? He says, God is answering. It's gonna pour, guys. He says, it's going to pour. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. He trusted God. The rains came. Remember James 5:17. He speaks of this event. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. So what does that tell me? Elijah is like you and me. Just like you and me, a man. But he was a man that believed God. He was a man of faith, a man with a calling in his life. A man did not waver. A man that stood on God's word and his promises and did what was hard during a difficult time. Listen, standing for God, obeying God when it's hard, when everything's going against you, that's when it shows where your faith is at, where my faith is at. Do I believe God? So he had a nature like ours. And he says, and he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. He prayed earnestly. That word earnestly means seriously, with intense conviction. Listen, that's seeking God in our prayers. That's seeking God in our prayers. Do we pray? How is your prayer life? How is my prayer life? Do we spend time with the Lord? Because that is a gift from the Lord. And Jesus says, hey, he tells us, knock and it will open. Go now and knock and it will open. God is going to give us an answer. But that does this mean that he's going to give us what we want? Dave says, hey, that new Mercedes, I want it. Can you just park it in the driveway over there? Listen, I know I don't need that yacht, but actually I do because I need a little bit of a tan. And how am I going to do that without that, you know? No. No, thank God that he does not give us what we want, but what we need and what is best in our lives. Thank God that he says no and has stopped me throughout my life so many times from making serious mistakes. Lord, I want to go over there right now. I believe that I just got to go do this. I'm going to do it for you, Lord. Disaster. He says, no, now is not the time. He says, no. And listen, he saves us. We should rejoice in God's no's as much as in his yes. Amen? In the model prayer, Jesus teaches us to ask for God's will to be done. We just went over that, right? So, When Jesus prayed, and he gives us the example in the garden, right? He's praying, and after three times, he's gone back, and the guys are asleep, and he says, man, he says, pray. You need to be praying that you may not enter into temptation and so forth. He goes back and rebukes him a couple times, and he prays three times. And Jesus, what is he praying? The same thing over and over again. He's praying that the cup would pass from him. But at the very end of his prayer, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's how we should conclude our prayers. That's what our heart should be. Listen, this is the direction I want to go, Lord. This is what I believe I need. But Lord, not my will. Your will be done. And then can I rest in that? Can I rest that I have gone with confidence, that I have asked, that I have seeked, I've gone before the Lord, and then just give it to him. And then whatever the answer is, I can walk in it. And I can walk in it with confidence and with joy because my Heavenly Father will always do what is best for me. And he'll provide for me. Not for my greeds, but for my needs, right? The point of the illustration here, of this persistent prayer, of this man and so forth, is really that we are to come to the Lord in that fashion. Not that God has the same character as this man and he's, you know, no, and that I'm annoyed, and because of being annoyed, he's going to give us something. That's not the character of God. He delights in hearing us and spending time with us and hearing from us. And God certainly doesn't withhold his goodness from us. Because oftentimes the enemy, that's what he does, right? That's the first lie he told Eve. What do you say? Did God really say that? Listen, he's holding back. Go eat of that fruit because you're going to be like him. He doesn't want to give you the best. He doesn't want you to be like so-and-so. He's saying he's holding back. God does not hold back. He loves us. If it's held back, it's for our own good. Look at what he says in the next verse. Another example. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, listen, that's among you, among me, among them, he will he give him a stone? Here, buddy, you want a bread? Chew on that. Who's going to do that? That's the question, right? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Can you imagine that? Oh, yeah, I want a fish. Here's this rattlesnake. Hey, you can cut off the rattle. You can play with it later, buddy. You'll be okay. Who's going to do that, right? The answer is no. No one's going to do that. No one's going to give their son, their daughter, something wicked in that fashion. That's not what we do. This is not something that even those that are evil will do. Now, when our kids ask for bread, I'm going to say, hey, do you want butter on that? I want you to try this. This peanut butter, here, let me toast it for you. Let me bless you with this. That's what I'm going to say, right? And that's me being evil. In comparison to God, that's me being evil. And what Jesus is saying is, look, that is what you will do. Imagine how much more our dad in heaven will do. Verse 13, take a look. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I find it interesting that he ends that way with this section here. Because what are we asking? What is it that this person's asking? What is it that you and I are asking? Lord, I need peace. Would you remove this anxiety? Lord, would you give me love for this people? Lord, give me the wisdom to share your word. Give me the boldness. Lord, I need X. Listen, when our Heavenly Father gives us the Holy Spirit, he gives us much more than what we ask for, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of joy, the Spirit, fill in the blank. He is giving us himself. What he's doing is saying, you want this? Let me give you the Spirit. Let me give you the Holy Spirit. And I love what the Bible says, that, man, that rivers of living water will gush forth from our innermost being. And then you know who else is affected by that? All those around us. How much more does not our Heavenly Father give us? He gives us his best. He doesn't give us his leftovers. His best. We have such a hard time understanding that. Listen, he gave us his son. He gave us his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, his son. And he says, he gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us himself. And the Bible exhorts us for us to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And it's just a response to his love. It's amazing. I don't want us to miss that. Because we can just read right through that. When God says he will give us the Holy Spirit, you know, oftentimes we don't truly realize or understand what he's given us. Because we have ideas in our head, and sometimes, you know, we're forgetful, right? We're forgetful. What does that mean, the Spirit of God? Certainly, I am saved and I'm sealed with the Spirit of God. So What does the Bible say? In Romans, it says 8:11, it says, but the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So he seals us with the spirit. He gives us eternal life. First thing, we receive the Lord. We repent of our sins. We're born again. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us eternal life. That's just one thing. And oftentimes also we equate the Spirit of God with power. And it's true. It's the power of God. It is the gift of God. It's the love of God. But oftentimes we stop there, just the power of God. We want to see the power of God. Listen, we want to see the love of God. And that is the Spirit of God. There is the Spirit that we receive when we're saved. And Jesus talks about this in John 14, 15, and 16. He talks about the Spirit of God will be with you. And then he says he will be in you. And then he's going to be upon you. And in the book of Acts, we're reminded when Jesus has already gone to the cross, he's going to go ahead and ascend. He says in Acts 1, 4, he says, and being assembled together, the word of God says, with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, Jesus said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we read Scripture, the baptism of the Holy Spirit can come at the same time when we believe. It can come at a different time when we believe. And then we see over and over in the book of Acts that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God is into refills. We're walking in weakness. Lord, I need the Spirit. I need you, Lord. Fill me afresh. And listen, when we're walking in the Spirit, the way that we respond is totally different than what we respond in the flesh. There is this softness, there's this joy, there's this peace. We don't respond with anger. There's a love for a fellow man. There's compassion. There's understanding of the Scriptures. God gives us the knowledge. He grows us in his grace and in the knowledge of him. And this is what he promises us. His Spirit. This is much, much more than we can ask or think. I am too shy to preach the gospel. I can't speak to people. I can't, that's what we say, right? You know what we should be praying for? The Spirit of God. When we pray for the Spirit of God to fill us afresh, there's power, there's boldness to preach the gospel. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized by the Holy Spirit, the Bible said three times in the three synoptic gospels, we read, John says, listen, I baptize you with water, but one greater than I is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that happened, Jesus, he breathed into the disciples. We see that in John 20. He came in and breathed the Spirit of God. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then afterwards, he says, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. You're going to be baptized. What we just read, and a little while later, we see they were baptized in the Spirit of God, and they were empowered to preach the gospel, empowered to live a Christian life in a difficult time where they might be killed. We cannot do this Christian life alone. If we think we can live and we can obey God and we can walk in these things without the Spirit of God, we don't understand. Because we cannot. It is an impossibility. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives in order to walk in the ways of the Lord. Because the Spirit of God is the character of God. He is God. So all the attributes of God, it's like, oh, I'm filled. Changes my life. Listen, God will change your life. He will. We're saved, and then all of a sudden we're like, wow, man, Lord, I know you have more. He does have more. He wants to use your life, my life. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. Do you believe that, church, that God has a plan for you? Do you believe that? He does. He does. He has a plan for your life. He wants to do something with your life, something incredible. Don't limit God. Oftentimes we limit God because we say, I can't do that. And in our minds, we're like, it's either this or that. And in the manner that we pray, in the manner that we approach God, in the manner that we want to serve the Lord, we give limitations because there are limitations as a person. And we give that to God and say, oh, only this much you can do. No, don't ever limit God. He can do so much more with your life than you can. Above all that you can ask or think, He is able. Isaiah 11, verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, speaking of Jesus. And then now he gives the attributes of the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Notice, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel. Hey, you need counsel? Man, I know the great counselor. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, reverence. You have reverence for the Lord? Well, we need the Spirit of God for that as well. Galatians 5:22 says that this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what happens when we're filled with the Spirit of God, when we're walking in the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Hey, check out this last one. Self-control. Wow. That guy cut me off and, no, self-control. There's self-control. He truly is able to give us more than we can ask or think. God loves us. And all we have to do is ask. We just come to Him. So, church, if you've been praying for those loved ones for years, do not stop unless the Lord has told you to. Continue praying. Pray fervently. Pray persistently. Pray expectantly. God will answer. We pray for our marriage. We pray for our kids. And listen, we need to pray for our country. Amen? There's such hatred, such division right now in our countries, and truly brother is divided against brother. Man, if you start talking politics, there is just like, man, the enemy, the spirit of the enemy, the spirit of hate comes above. And it's like, man, it's clashing. There's no communication. And I say this truly. I believe that we're at the brink of a civil war with things going on right now. We need to pray that God would move mightily in America, that we would come, that we would return to God as a country. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for those that are in position of power. And we need to pray for godly men to just be bold and say, you know what? I'm going to run for this office and for that office and for this and so forth. We need to pray that God uses someone to just really turn this thing around. And because it's not going to be because of him. It's going to be because of God. We need to be persistent. We need to ask. We need to seek. You know, one of the things that we find out as we continuously pray, maybe it's the same thing to the Lord, the same topic, I'm going to say, we start finding out as we come to the Lord and praying this, that our prayers start changing a little bit. As we pray, the Spirit of God is actually directing us. And we find out maybe what we were praying for a month ago is not the same thing that we were praying for. Because when we're persistent in our prayers, the Lord directs us. He says, let me move you over to my will. Because the purpose of prayer is what? To align my will with His. And as we spend time with Him, little by little by little, He aligns more my heart to His heart. The Bible says in Psalms 84:11, listen, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Let me read that again. No good thing will He will our God, will our Father withhold from those who walk uprightly? Think about that. That tells you and me that if we do not receive what we have earnestly prayed for, that we must conclude that it was not good for me. At the very least, that he says, not now, it's not good for you right now. Because my Father, my Heavenly Father, my dad will always do what's best for me, and he will always give me his best. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you. We love you. Lord, you are so good to us. You're so gracious. And Lord, I just pray if there's someone here that, Lord, they don't, maybe, Lord, there's been a dryness in their lives. Maybe there has been a season of just, Lord, where they've walked away, or maybe, Lord, they have never, ever been baptized by your Spirit, never known this closeness that your word speaks of. Or maybe there's some that don't know you, Lord. Maybe someone's listening online that doesn't know you. Lord, this is available for us. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to them now by your Holy Spirit, that you would be ministering to their hearts, that, Lord, that you want them, that you love them, that you're for them. And that they would just give up the things of the world and come to you, or repent. Maybe they have backslidden. They come and they just want to come back to you. So would you just move mightily, Lord? He said, ask for your Spirit and you would give it abundantly. So that's what we pray. Pray, pour out your Spirit, Lord. Move. Move in such a powerful way. We ask this in your name, my Lord Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you're here.